From the pulpit of the Capital City Baptist Church, we present Pulpit Echoes, a ministry of Pastor Adam Thompson and the Capital City Baptist Church. I'd invite you to stay with us because at the end of the broadcast, we'll give you our contact information. And now with a message from the Word of God, here's Pastor Adam Thompson.
Genesis chapter 6, this morning, verse 9, the Bible says, "These are the generations of Noah. Noah was a just man and perfect in his generations, and Noah walked with God." Then go down to verse 22. "Thus did Noah, according to all that God commanded him, so did he." I want you to see and notice in verse 9 the phrase, "Noah was a just man and perfect." Now, this isn't a courting couple with that girl saying, "I believe this man is perfect. This is God." This is a perfect God that sees everything, not just in our actions, but in our thoughts, in our heart, in our mind. And he wrote in eternal scripture that Noah was a just man and perfect. Now this year, the theme for our year in the church is "Be Thou an Example." And Noah was just that, a perfect example. Now, we're not talking about sinless perfection. Obviously, you're going to see errors, mistakes. We'll notice that later in the life of Noah. But God calls him perfect in all of his generations. And at this point, when God had this written, Noah had been alive for 480 years. Now, it's hard enough to sustain perfection 480 minutes or 480 hours. 480 months would be quite an accomplishment, but this was for 480 years, and God said Noah was perfect. Now you say, "Yeah, does God expect perfection of me?" Absolutely, he certainly does. Not sinless perfection, we'll explain in just a moment, but here's what he said in Genesis 17:1 to Abram. "When Abram was 90 years old, the Lord appeared to Abram and said to him, 'I am the Almighty God, walk before me.'" And then he said this, "And be thou perfect." Well, that's Old Testament, and he was somewhat found in the Old Testament. Surely we can't be talking about the day and age of grace, because this day and age is told the followers of the Lord Jesus Christ, you get to kind of formulate your own plan, do your own thing, and God certainly will be excited about that. But that's not what God's Word says. Matthew 5:48 says, "Be therefore perfect, even as your Father, which is in heaven, is perfect." So our point of reference is not our own thinking, our own wisdom, but rather our Heavenly Father. And God wants you to be perfect even in a wicked society. And Noah certainly was living in a wicked society. We spoke about that last week. I want you to see this morning three different things concerning perfection. And the first one is details, because perfection is all about the details. Now, I can tell that I've overwhelmed the congregation by our start, because our excuse in life is always, "Well, you don't expect me to be perfect, do you?" Have you ever met someone that you thought was perfect and 15 minutes later you change your mind? I love to see these dating couples, courting couples, you know. And they got stars in their eyes and they're floating around. They don't even need shoes, because they just float around on the wind and the waves of love. And they're so excited because, "Pastor, 7 billion people on the planet, God's led me to the perfect one." And the only thing I have to say to those young people is, I hope you still have that mindset 50 years from now. Because maybe 50 minutes after marriage, you will change your mind. How many read about the couple this week that got divorced an hour after their wedding? He said, "She texts too much to even maintain a conversation, so I said, this marriage is over." Amazing that he saw perfection until the moment of the ceremony, and then saw imperfections. But God expects us to live on a higher level, and normally here's what we do, and here's even what preaching has done, and we've established grace, and God established grace in this chapter. It said Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. We see a man that was obedient and a man that was paying attention to details. Verse 22, "Thus did Noah," look what the next words say, "according to all that commanded. God is a God of detail. He is a perfect God with a perfect plan, and perfection demands that we pay attention to details. I'm certain that Noah was pretty happy that God gave him a manual when it came to building an ark, because here's that Noah. He had no clue what God was talking about when he said a boat and floating and water and flood. And so God, in verse 14, look what it says, gave him meticulous directions concerning this boat. Verse 14, Noah, make thee an ark of gopher wood. Room shalt thou make in the ark, and shalt pitch it within and without with pitch. And this is a fashion which thou shalt make of it. The length of the ark shall be, and Noah's waiting. I'm thinking, what, Lord, 15, 20 feet, maybe 30, 35 feet. And the Lord said, no, 300 cubits. Now, when we talk about a cubit, Old Testament cubit, that's the length of the forearm. That's about 17 and a half inches. So Noah was basically looking at a boat that'd be 450 feet, approximately 450 feet long. That's a big boat. And the breadth of it, 50 cubits. The height of it, 30 cubits. And a window shalt thou make to the ark, and a cubit shalt thou finish it above. The door of the ark shalt thou set in the side thereof, with the lower second and third stories shalt thou make it. And here's what God did. He gave him specific directions with the exact materials and the exact dimensions. That's a huge boat that's supposed to be built. And the ark had a ratio of 30 by 5 by 3, which according to boat builders, they can't quite understand shipbuilders. They say that ratio represents an advanced knowledge in boat building. They said a boat with those dimensions was not even built again until the 1900s. Isn't it amazing that God is so far ahead of man? And he gave Noah. Now, Noah's clueless, but God is guiding him, leading him, giving him specific instructions. And so these boat builders say, well, it'd be nearly impossible for this boat to capsize because the water would have to push it to about a 90-degree angle because it was so perfectly constructed. But I hate to break the bad news to that team of scientists, because there's no way for this boat to capsize because God was the designer. And God made it impossible for Noah or these animals to go down. The volume of this is about 1.5 million cubic feet. That's a big boat. It's the equivalent of 569 railroad boxcars, which means you could put in about 125,000 sheep. Now, when it comes to animals, took a brief look. Supposedly, there's about 18,000 species of mammals, birds, reptiles, and amphibians on the planet. So, if you do the math, we're talking about this boat needing to hold 65 to 75,000 animals. But the average animal is smaller than a sheep. But that boat could hold up to 125,000. Now, imagine, though, because he looks like an absolute idiot. You're building something this large. First of all, Noah, come on. You know how long that's going to take you? And Noah says, yeah, I know exactly how long it's going to take me. God told me, 120 years. So Noah, tell me about your team. It's Shem. Really? He's not that hard of a worker. It's Ham. Ham? When has he ever messed with wood? He's not a carpenter. Japheth. And hopefully on the weekends, their wives will help me out. And folks, he didn't have much of a team. He couldn't make a phone call. He couldn't go down to the local lumber yard. They had no tools. And here's what God was doing. God was saying, Noah, I am in charge of this project, and you will do according. Now, here's what we don't like in Scripture. Look what it says, verse 22. Noah did according to all that what? Hold on, we're leaving out the word that we're supposed to be reading. Commanded. You know, it's amazing how we don't use biblical terms anymore. Talk about, oh, I'm going to church and the message really challenged me. You'd have to study hard to find that scripture. God didn't bring you here to challenge you. God brought you here to command. Now, this goes so contrary to today's philosophy and preaching. If you go even to your local bookstore, the hottest book on the market right now. I don't want to give any publicity to the nonsense it is, so I won't even name the title. But it's extra biblical revelation. Like, that Bible doesn't have enough to keep us busy for a lifetime. You know why someone needs extra biblical revelation? Because they don't want to submit themselves to the Word of God, the established Word of God. How many say, I've run out of things to do found in the Word of God? I've run out of commands to obey. And I'm looking for something new to implement in my life. Listen, God has enough to keep us busy for a lifetime, and God's trying to help us out. Here's what we don't understand. We think that God's word is oppressive. It's too straight. It's too narrow. And Noah may have had days and moments when he felt the same. Until he climbed in that ark, God shut the door. The waters came. The earth was flooded. And those that mocked began to knock on the side of that boat and beg now. They had a change of heart. It didn't take but about 10 feet of water for Noah to say, praise God for his word. I'm certainly glad I listened. Boy, every detail. I'm certainly glad we pitched this boat with pitch inside and outside. Boy, that was nasty making all of that happen. And you guys certainly didn't appreciate me, the color that it turned your hands and your feet and the mess that was in our house. We never thought that project would end, but praise the Lord, it's finished and we're in the ark and we've been saved and we've been delivered. And here's what we want. We want to avoid the traps and the pitfalls and the consequences of sin without obeying completely God's word. It's like the girl that goes through the process. Mom's trying to teach him about following a recipe, and the finished product is wrong. The cake is flat, or the meal's not that good. The lasagna is disastrous. And then you find out the stove wasn't set at the right temperature according to the altitude. Have you ever cooked something at a very high elevation and realized things are totally different in the way they must be cooked? But you leave out an egg, you leave out some flour, you add too much sugar, whatever it is, it changes the end product. Oh, how many times my wife has watched me buy something, and the first thing she asks is, why did you throw those instructions in the trash? I don't need them. Next thing I know, I hear behind the closed door a conversation between her and Pastor Robert or Pastor Ben. Hey, Brother Robert, would you please come over here? I need you to come get a coffee with my husband and help him put that together. I had never figured out why they sell things in stores with 38 extra pieces. It's the weirdest thing. I get it to come together. My wife has looked at me after assembling a simple fan, and she said, babe, do you think it's going to work like that? Absolutely. That's the way it's supposed to be. Why is the lettering upside down? When it falls over, you can read it, babe. Got to think ahead. You know, it's amazing in life that we don't follow the simplest directions and instructions. And God has given us a manual, this book, with instructions for marriage, with instructions for child rearing, with instructions even for giving. Did you know God said 10% he gave you? And here's what we don't know. No, God, I want you to know, you can be the boss, but you can't give me specific instructions. You can tell me to give, but I decide the amount. You can tell me how to live, but I'm going to decide how dedicated. God said, I'm not just going to tell you how to pray. I'm going to tell you what to pray. I'm going to tell you in what position to pray. God is really specific, and that's what man doesn't like. It's amazing that even his most dedicated followers don't like details. And God said of Noah, he was perfect. And here's what you're going to see in the life of Noah. Noah did, and this is repeated several times in these chapters. Look in chapter 7, verse 5. Noah did according unto all that the Lord commanded him. Verse 9, there went in two and two into Noah into the ark, the male and the female, as God had commanded Noah. This is about absolute submission to God. God said, I want one window. I want one door. I want three levels. I want it pitched a certain way. These are the number of rooms. I want you to bring in food for the animals. Can you imagine had Noah guesstimated on his own? Little water, little flood, bad things happening, animals need some food. Let's prep for 50 days. There's only one problem. Noah was on that boat for just over one calendar year. Can you imagine 40 days in and the animals were without food? Oh, man, you're going to have to tie down the carnivorous ones. Because at some point, they may want to eat you. And God was taking care of every detail. And here's what God wants to do in your life. God wants to help you in your child rearing. God wants to bless you in your finances. God wants to help you in your marriage. God wants to protect you from evil. But we just want to generalize the commands of God, and in our own way, in our own imagination, according to our own thoughts, decide how he must be pleased with my actions. Well, you know, I think it's okay if you have an occasional drink. As long as you don't get drunk and beat up your wife, it's all good. Well, God gave you a manual, and he gave you specific instructions concerning alcoholic beverages. Well, you know, I don't see anything wrong with that. Well, you better check according to God's word and see what he says concerning those things. Well, I don't think there's any problem with divorce and remarriage and divorce, remarriage, and you know, don't get it right the first time, second time, third time, maybe the fourth time. Well, God has instructions concerning marriage as well. Well, I don't know. What would the Supreme Court say about man, woman, transgender, bisexual? God said he made male and female. God gave us some pretty specific instructions in his word to guide us through this life, because without those instructions, man just creates a lot of chaos. How many ever noticed that? Yep. How many ever did something in your life, you didn't follow the instructions, and the consequence took your breath away? Why'd I do that? How'd I mess that up? I can't believe I made the mistake. I didn't just make it, I made it again. So here's Noah with his kids. Let me ask you this. How many of you think his wife for 120 years during the building process was one happy woman? And his three daughter-in-laws. How many think they were happy that their husbands were involved in this crazy, crazy project? Did you know that God wasn't concerned at all about Noah's reputation? Noah, all I want you to do is submit, because I'm going to make you the offscouring of the earth. I'm going to make you the butt of all jokes. I'm going to make you look absolutely insane for 120 years. Can you imagine explaining to someone, he doesn't have a book. Now, when we say that God gave him a manual, it wasn't written. He just said, I want you to listen. I want you to listen very well. Because if you don't do this boat exactly the way I say, it's not going to float for a year. You will die. I would guess possibly on the planet there was someone last minute decided to make a boat. Maybe Noah had some kind of impact. Maybe some of them said, you know, he's talking about a boat in a storm. We've seen a little bit of water here and there. And I got a 20-foot yacht that we've made. It's a beauty. We're good. We're safe. There's only one boat that's going to make it through this storm. And it's the one God specifically designed. You know, with the storms of society and the trends of the culture and the problems that are found in marriage, if you don't follow God's manual, your boat will not float. It's not going to withstand the storms. It may withstand the first bit of rain, the first bit of water, the first 10 feet, the first wind surge. But when those waves are coming at 100 feet, when those swells are 150 feet, your boat is going to capsize. Somebody's going to drown. Somebody's going to get hurt. Now, I know these people were human just like we are. There were days when those ladies got together in that kitchen and said, this is beyond bizarre. What are we going to do? Not going to cook dinner for them. Let them come home. You say, Pastor, if you look, it didn't say Noah's daughter-in-laws and wife was perfect. I guarantee you there were days these women said, you can cook for yourselves. You're coming in the house at 11 o'clock again, covered from head to toe with dirt and pitch. Your hands are rough. Listen, when you're working with tools of stone, folks, when an axe broke, they couldn't run down to the local hardware store. They didn't have chainsaws. We're talking about jobs that would take us, and nowadays, a matter of minutes that were literally taking, consuming weeks at a time. And those ladies were fed up. You have been involved in this project for 62 years. And it looks to me like you're not even halfway done. I'm not. Take it back. I'm barely halfway done. According to my calculation, just past half. And those ladies were saying, no, you're crazy. You are crazy. I'm sick and tired of all the hammering going on night and day, day and night. Every time you drop a piece of lumber at 50 feet, it shakes the house. You're going to kill one of those boys. Can you imagine the scaffolding 6,000 years ago? Folks, it wasn't 10 years ago in Mexico when we were building our building. Brother Matt swung by and saw, and there we are, 20 feet, 25 feet in the air, three sets of scaffolding with an extended ladder. OSHA would have shut that down. With the windy city of Pachuca, it would help you paint the windowsills because the wind would blow you this way and the wind would blow you back this way. Now, we're talking about modern day scaffolding. Go back millenniums. And I wonder how many times they had a close call. When we were putting up the lights in our building, we had one of those planks fall off the top set of scaffolding, and it was only the grace of God where that thing swung, that piece of wood that probably weighed 25, 30 pounds, caught one of the metal bars, and instead of dropping straight, it began to flip. And at the bottom was one of our men, hit him right in the head, split him open, knocked him out. It would have killed him under any other circumstances. Now, he's still a little bit affected today, but most deacons are affected, amen? Sometimes it doesn't even take any timber. It doesn't even take a blow to the head. They're just born a little bit off. These ladies, trust me, they may have been happy the first year, first 2 years, first 20 years, first 25 years. But at some point, everyone in that household was sick and tired of being sick and tired. I guarantee you those women could finish the phrases of their husband. I am sick, and the wives would say, and tired. You want to talk about a bad year, a bad decade? They were having a bad century. It didn't make any sense. Noah couldn't even stand up and say, honey, I'm doing this because it's biblical. You can at least say that. You can show her a Bible verse. She may still get angry, but Noah couldn't even take her to a Bible verse. How do you know you have to do that? God told me. Right. Every time you want to keep making this bigger and bigger and bigger and bigger, you say God told you. You got any proof? No. Come on. Another room, more hay, more pitch, more wood. Folks, do you realize how far you have to go? Once you started building a boat this big, how far you have to go just to provide the timber? You can start with the trees around your house. You don't have a truck. Now you're going 50, 80 miles away, or you're waiting 15 years for trees to regrow. You're planting more trees? Yeah, because in 20 years, they'll be very usable. 20 years! Noah, don't you think at some point, even his boys said, I can imagine Ham coming up, I'm done with this, Dad. I am absolutely done. Enough. Enough is enough. I don't care if you fire me or not. I just fired myself. I messed it up on purpose. Fire me once and for all. You fired me before and then you hired me the next morning. Make it permanent. Now, even if he was hiring outside help, how long do you think that lasted? No, there's no end in sight to this project. Now, folks, here's what we don't do. We don't truly consider the details of the Bible story when we read it. It's one thing to do exactly what God said for a day or a week or a year, but I'm talking about obedience. And here's when revival takes place. You know what revival is? It's those fresh steps of obedience. You know why there's nothing going on in your heart? There hasn't been any new, precise, detailed obedience in a long time. You don't need any extra biblical revelation. If you just take up this book, you'd open it up and say, I'm going to find out exactly what God says, and I'm going to listen, I'm going to read, I'm going to heed, and I'm going to obey to the detail, to the letter. And you know what it's going to do? It's going to make you look a little bit fanatical. You know, God tells you about your speech and about gossip. Let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth. I don't think you need any other instructions found outside of this book, because there's already too much there. And when we're talking about absolute submission, we're talking about to the righteousness of God's character, to the roads of God's choosing, and saying, I know God has a specific purpose and will for each individual in here, and it's unique in its circumstance and in its destiny. But there's also a general will, and that's found in this book, and that's called clean, holy living. Sometimes it's just too specific. Every nail matters. The dimension matters. The pitch matters. But people are following their heart. You know what this generation of Christians do? They like to follow their heart. The heart is deceitful and desperately wicked. And here's what the heart's going to get you to do. Avoid the specifics of this instruction book. And now it's hard. Here's what I found out. Most people don't even read it enough to know the specifics of it. Amen. Pastor, you know what? I'm not going to do that. Why wouldn't you do that? Because I don't believe it. Why don't you believe it? You got to read it to heed it. You got to read it to believe it. You got to read it to understand it. And most people don't want to argue about this book, never even actually read it. Amen. Well, I don't believe in the Old Testament. Well, tell me about the New Testament. Well, I haven't read it yet. Trust me, if you just took one book of the Bible, if you just took Ephesians and said, I'm just going to obey Ephesians, you would struggle from day to day. You could, just in the book of Ephesians, you could end up being a pretty good Christian. If you just took the book of 1 John, you say, you know what, there's 66 books. I can't handle that much. I'm not a reader, and I can't swallow that much. I don't believe in the Old Testament. I don't even believe in most New Testament. That's okay. Just take a little book, 5 chapters, 1 John, and just live it. It revolutionized your life. One book, 5 chapters, 6 pages of scripture. But we don't like specific instructions, because that says something about, if you can't love your brother that you've seen, how can you claim to love God which you've not seen? Just that command alone. Start working on loving everyone that you know. I can't do that. You struggle to love your mate. You struggle to love your neighbor. You struggle to love those sitting on the same pew as you in the church, same church as you, with the same spiritual DNA as you. Perfection is about the details. And in the Christian life, there are very few Christians that want to come to church and know the details, study the details, and then obey the details. You know what gets criticized in Christianity? Someone that pays attention to the details. Well, you're too literal. You're too biblical. You're too fanatical. Don't you think that Noah heard these words repeatedly? Maybe every day? Maybe by his own children? Maybe by his own wife? Maybe for 120 years? Possibly. I want you to see number 2, and here's the problem in all this. Until we understand the importance of the details and the fact that, let me ask you a question. Do you believe one drop of water got in that boat? How many believe a single drop of water got in that boat? You know why we don't believe water got in that boat? Because God made it, and Noah followed those instructions. You know what? You want your boat to flow, whether that's marriage or child rearing or your finances, your walk, whatever it is. The only way that boat's going to float is if God's the one that designed it and you followed his specific instructions. And how many times I had people sit in my office broken down and crying, I don't understand. I obeyed God, and it's just a mess. That never happens. That's an oxymoron. You can't obey God and find yourself in disaster. Because when you do that which is right, it is guaranteed there is no water. Listen, I don't care as bad as this world gets, and you can look around and be frustrated and read the newspaper and let your blood pressure go high. But God is never threatened by circumstances. And this is as bad as this world has ever seen. And God made a promise here and gave us a rainbow as proof of the promise that he'd never again destroy the earth. But this is as bad. Listen, there may be a flood. in Austin. There may be an earthquake in California. There may be a tsunami in Thailand. But this world will never see anything on this level again. And yet Noah survived. That boat was made by God to float above the danger and the catastrophe. And here's why I want to follow God's word. Because what the instructions he gave me is to put me in a boat that will float above. You say, I'm drowning. You're not listening to the instructions, because God wants to put you in a boat and shut you in and protect you and give you grace. And when you go through that storm, you're going to need God's grace. You know why Noah made it through the storm? He was riding not on a boat, and his confidence wasn't in a boat. His confidence was in the fact that he was being obedient to God. So he was right where God wanted him to be, and that placement in God's ark guaranteed him God's divine protection. And if you don't have God's divine protection in this world, you're in trouble. And if you don't have God's divine protection after this life, you are in trouble. Look what it says, verse 22 of chapter 7. All in whose nostrils was the breath of life, of all that was in the dry land, what happened? They died. And every living substance was destroyed, which was upon the face of the ground, both man and cattle, the creeping things, and the fowl of the heaven, and they were destroyed from the earth. And Noah only remained alive. Why? He was the only one that listened. Now, pre-flood, he was the joke on the planet. You got to be kidding me. You're all alone. How stupid must you be? Don't you understand? We've studied this out. Scientists have predicted and told us it would be impossible for the earth to flood. Noah, get a grip. Well, he's gotten a grip. He's floating above. He has survived. He's riding out God's grace and deliverance. Noah only remained alive, and they that were with him. The only reason they survived, because they were with Noah, the one that was obedient. So perfection is about the details. And perfection is about the delays. Look what it says in verse 9, chapter 6, verse 9. Noah's a just man. And what's it say? Perfect in his generations. Look what it says in chapter 7, verse 6. And Noah was what? 600. How many of you ever known someone that was perfect for 600 years? Here's one of the most difficult parts of the Christian life is long-term, sustaining success. You get people, I'm going to do right. I'm going to soul win. I'm going to love Jesus. I'm going to walk with God. I'm going to read my Bible. I'm going to pray. And it lasts 3 days. I'm going to be faithful to Jesus. And 6 months later. I'm going to love my wife. And 3 months later. I'm going to do this according to God's plan. Maybe they make it 10 years. In 8 months. And quit. Now, here's what we base our Christianity on. Normally, it's the reward, the physical, visible reward that's motivational. So, I'm going to soul win. But if you go 6 months and don't see someone saved, normally people stop. Or I'm going to tithe, and then you go 8 months and don't get a pay raise. I'm done with that. I'm going to give to missions. And then 12 months in, you're still waiting to win the lottery. What's up with this, Lord? I thought we had a plan here. I thought we signed a contract. I do your thing, you do my thing. That's the way most people live the Christian life. Now, let me ask you this. Noah did right, according to God's command, for 120 years. In those 120 years, what was his visible reward? Tangible, touchable, tastable reward. 120 years. Was there one? Did God throw him a donut? God said, Noah, here's your reward. After 120 years, you get to climb on, I shut the door, you survive the storm. No one else does. Now let me ask you this. How many of you, if God looked down from heaven and said, your only reward after salvation is eternal life in heaven with me. Amen. That's it. How many would be fine with that? Amen. Be careful. Be careful.
Because most of us on this life say, if I'm going to tithe, if I'm going to go to church, if I'm going to make the sacrifice, if I'm going to pray, better answer. Matter of fact, you better not just answer. You better answer the first three times I pray. Maybe four, maybe 2 weeks. Make it happen, or this relationship is over. 120 years, nothing. Lord, would you help those trees grow? And Lord said, go find them. I guarantee you there were days when Noah and his boys took off on their beasts and went 4, 5, 6 days journey to cut more wood and drag it back. Lord, you know it'd really help if you'd regrow the forest here quicker. Miracle grow, Lord. Miracle grow, please, please. There were delays. So he gets on the boat, 120 years of faithfulness. They get on the boat, the rain starts to come, and hold on for a minute. How many of you get motion sick? A few years ago, I went with Brother James, and we went out on the ocean. The day before, I should have known better than this, I get motion sick if I drive around with my wife in the vehicle. Not because of her driving. I'm not saying that. You took that the wrong way. I just get motion sick easy. We got out there, but the day before, they'd canceled the fishing trip because the swells were 15 to 20 feet. So the next day, they were about down to 12 feet, so they let us go. We're going. Now, listen, when you fish for halibut, you got to go out, deep sea. This isn't coastal. This is deep sea. And we didn't even make it out to where we're fishing, and I was chumming. And I chummed the left side, and I chummed the right side, and I chummed the top side, and I chummed the bottom side. I painted the inside of the boat. I painted the outside of the boat. And 6 hours of painting. Nothing like halibut fishing. Amen. I never touched a rod, never touched a reel, never pulled in a fish. I just chummed. Made them all successful fishermen. Now, can you imagine not 6 hours, but 40 days of rain so hard the water covered the tops of the mountains? 40 days. That's a storm. 150 days where waters covered the earth. Even when the rain stopped, the waters were not abated. How many of you ever been in a storm and you kept thinking, it can't rain again. It can't keep raining. This can't... We can't have more light. We can't have more thunder. There is no way. How many ever had a spiritual thunderstorm that you just thought, this cannot keep up at this pace. I can't endure anymore. This boat can't take anymore. My stomach can't churn anymore. Can't deal with this. You know the most difficult part of living a Holy Spirit-filled life are the delays. The delay in getting that job. The delay in seeing that child repent. The delay in seeing a reconciliation with that family member. The delay is what turns us upside down and makes us lose hope. Noah's life was one big fat delay. That was it. 120 years of building. A storm and a ride on a boat. How many ever got on a boat for maybe a cruise? Man, I'm so thankful for that cruise. We're going to go around the world. We're going to see the sights. And by day 7, what are you wanting to do? Get off. God said, Noah, tell your wife she gets to go on a cruise. All the food she wants to eat for free for 368 days. Now, most ladies get excited about all-you-can-eat buffets, but not the ones that last 368 days. Now, I don't know where you're at in your life. You may be just getting the message from God. You may be just receiving the plans. You may be halfway through the project. You may be cleaning up and moving in, but you don't want to stop before everything is finished. Amen. If Noah would have stopped at 115 years, he would have missed loading those animals, climbing on that boat, and the salvation of his family. We are in such a hurry to prematurely get on that boat, shut the door, and kick back. How many of you are looking around the world and everything's taking place? You say, man, I'd sure, certainly like to get on the boat and have God shut the door. I'd like to climb in that ark of safety and see God's protection and not mess with this anymore. It just doesn't happen that way. Passing through the storm was a process, and rebuilding their lives was a process. Let me say this, and we're done. Chapter 7, verse 1. And the Lord said unto Noah, come thou and all thy house into the ark, for thee have I seen what? Righteous. Now go with me to Hebrews chapter 11, verse 7. Perfection is not just about the details and the delays. It's about
the defects, addressing those defects. You know how you address the defects in your life? Pastor, I just don't know what you're talking about, perfection. I can't ever obtain perfection. Aren't you glad that God gave us a way to obtain perfection? Not through our righteousness, but by submitting to His righteousness. Look what it says, Hebrews 11:7. By faith, Noah, being warned of God of things not seen as yet, he moved with fear, prepared an ark to the saving of his house, by which he condemned the world. And what's it saying? Became what? He didn't work for his righteousness. He inherited his righteousness. He became an heir. I'm still waiting for the phone call. What phone call? Adam, you had a rich aunt die, a rich uncle die, and you just became the heir. Hallelujah. How many waiting for that phone call? How many doubting you ever get that phone call? But better than being made an heir of $1 million, he was made an heir of the righteousness which is by faith. And here's the way to address your defects. Well, Pastor, you got to understand, I've tried to turn over a new leaf, tried to change my life, tried to establish my own righteousness. Let me just read a verse in Romans 10:1. Brethren, my heart's desire and prayer to God's Israel that they might be saved. But there's a problem. For they being ignorant of God's righteousness and going about to establish their own righteousness, they have not submitted themselves to the righteousness of God. You know what? Noah had to submit himself, not to God's commands. He had to submit himself to God's righteousness. And you know what this world doesn't want to do? In their pride, they can't even be made righteous. They'll never overcome their defects. They'll never be made perfect because their perfection is not a work that you do. It's inherited righteousness. Aren't you glad for the day that you submitted yours? You got to submit yourself and say, God's right, I'm wrong. This isn't about my righteousness. This is about His righteousness. And I submit myself to His. He became a partaker. Now, here's what we forget. The Bible says in 2 Peter 3 that He was a preacher of righteousness. But He first had to become a partaker. Before He could portray the righteousness of God, He had to partake of the inherited righteousness of God. And you do that by submitting to His righteousness. Amen. My question is to you today. Are you perfect? No, Pastor, I'm not perfect. You can be made perfect. How? Become a partaker of the righteousness of God by faith. And when you as a lost sinner say, I'm wrong, God's right, I'm going to submit to His righteousness, I want to receive what Christ did on the cross through His shed blood, the forgiveness of sins, in whom we have redemption through His blood. The forgiveness of sins. I want to be made righteous. You know what? You can be made perfect. Perfect? God says, nothing enters into heaven unless it's perfect. There's no way for us to do that. There's no way for us to accomplish that. But God, through His Son, says He will give you His righteousness if you, by faith, receive Him, trust Him as your Savior.
The Capital City Baptist Church is located at 1300 Red Street in beautiful Austin, Texas. We'd invite you to join us if you're in town. 10 a.m. Sunday mornings, 6 p.m. Sunday night, and 7:30 each and every Wednesday evening. Our phone number is 512-447-9454, but I'd like to point your attention specifically to our website, capitalcitybaptist.org. There you'll find information regarding service times, the staff, and all about Capital City Baptist Church. Additionally, you can find an archive of previously preached messages there for you to download, enjoy, and pass on to friends and family. Again, that website is capitalcitybaptist.org. That's capital with an O, citybaptist.org. Be sure and tell a friend and do your best to join us again for Pulpit Echoes, a ministry of the Capital City Baptist Church.